Hi, this is John and Ken.
And the number to call if you want to speak, 1-888-JOHN-KEN. 1-888-564-6536. Here on the new Talk Radio 1230 FYM. This is the John and Ken Show. Welcome. We are live. This isn't a rerun. We're back from vacation. Good to be here.
How are you coping?
Are you coping? Well, let me tell you. Driving in today, I'm listening to the network news, and apparently there's a pigeon dropping that's splattered outside of Kensington Palace in the shape of Princess Diana. And there are now thousands of people clustered around this pigeon dropping. Because apparently, you know how pigeon droppings are multicolored?
They rainbow kind of thing.
Well, white, and there's grays, and there's blacks, and there's browns. So apparently the way the colors sell, it looked exactly like Princess Diana wearing a black Versace ballroom gown, I guess. Like one of those things where she goes and she went to those charities, you know?
Let me just...
I'm having trouble coping. I consider whether or not I should return to work. It's just been a... God, it's been a trauma. I tell you, I couldn't think. I couldn't enjoy my time off. What the hell is the matter with people?
I watch that thing build each day on vacation. I'm like, what is this? What am I missing here?
I got a story for you. I'm going to give you a brief chronology. It was about like a 10-day vacation, 6 working days, right? And we decided to take a driving trip, an easygoing driving trip. We went to Northern California just to float around because, my wife is 7 months pregnant, can't do anything strenuous. We're just going to float from these beautiful beach towns, into the wine country of Northern California. We weren't going to see anybody. We weren't going to do anything. It's just ease along, right? Had a little so on. So we went to Carmel, beautiful seaside town, and Clint Eastwood used to be the mayor there.
Yes, I've been there.
It's nothing but art shops and antique shops and restaurants and beautiful beach and it's only rich people, and all this.
Yes, we prefer to be with people in our own class, don't we?
That's it. It's perfect town for my wife. This is like her number one favorite town in the world. And then we got to dinner, pushing the baby around. He fell asleep, looking in the windows of the art shops, and I had to go to the bathroom real bad. Like, real bad, I had too much wine. At dinner, I had to go. So I go to the bathroom. And I come out, and this room is like a restaurant tavern place. And I look at that TV over the bar, and there I see a little still photo of the smashed car.
Oh, what's that?
That's right, it was early for you. What's that? It was 9:30 in the evening, Pacific time. So I'm looking, I look at this scratch, I'm looking, I can't see too well with my glasses even. And then I'm looking at the little print at the bottom. It's like Princess Diana dies in car crash. Like, whoa!
That's right, she was dead by then.
She was, yeah, she was already dead. This was hours after the story broke.
That's right, I beat you to it.
Oh, see, yeah.
I beat you to it. We've been out to dinner. I was in the Eastern time zone. And, the only reason I would turn on TV on a Saturday night is because one of the reasons I went east is to go to the U.S. Open tennis tournament, which I did that day. So I wanted to watch it before we went out to dinner. We came home after a long day. We were there until like 8 o'clock at night. And I was just going to watch the night matches on TV, and I'm flipping around, and I see little MSNBC, the one that nobody watches.
Yeah.
And I see, like, this still photo, and it says on the bottom, Princess Diana car crash. I'm like, oh, man, what the heck is this? But she was still alive at that point, according to reports. And then we went out to dinner, and of course, people came to the door. I was staying at a friend's apartment. I said, oh, breaking news. Princess Diana car crash. I'm like, what? And then after dinner, we got in a taxi cab, and then the reports came over the radio. She was dead, which was now like 12 midnight Eastern time.
Yeah.
So I was shocked. I ran out screaming.
No, I ran out and told my wife, I go, Princess Diana's dead. And she was upset. My wife actually cried. She immediately cried over me.
Well,
and that was like the first indication that things were going to be weird because I didn't expect her to cry. She really cried. And I'm thinking, uh-oh. Because I was shocked because, Diana was like this thing out there. I don't have any reverence for her, any particular like or dislike.
No, you've never been a real fan of the whole royal family.
No, the whole thing is stupid to me, but she's out there, and I never bought a magazine because her picture was on it, but it's, a little blurb appeared in the gossip column I read. I was like, oh, okay, and I'd move on.
Then we just started noticing Dodie. Yeah, I was talking about that model that sued him, and I brought up his name one day. We were both laughing. I was saying, Doty.
Doty. No, he was some weirdo Egyptian billionaire playboy moron.
Pseudo movie producer.
Yeah, he used to rent out Beverly Hills mansion for pay at $20,000 a month and not pay. So, you know, he was like a typical jerk. Typical rich boy jerk. And a typical dead rich boy jerk.
Wait, she cried.
Well, so we went back to the hotel room, and I sat there, and you know, you watch the, it's just like obligatory now, you know, you watch the continuous coverage, you know, I watch the Sky News from Britain. We watched for a couple hours, and then it got repetitive, as those things do, when I decided I was going to go to bed, and she wouldn't go to bed. You know, there's another sign, it's like, oh, there's something wrong here. Yeah. And then, you know, she's waking up in the middle of the night, thinking about it. Next morning, the TV's on. By the next morning, I was done. I had mourned. Whatever minimal, tiny bit of mourning that I did, it was done. And I wanted to get out. It was another bright, beautiful day in Carmel. I wanted to, you know, just... Every time we went back to the hotel room, she turned on the TV. Every time. And it got to the point where one night, she turned on, like, the 36th, the Dateline special on Diana. And I had to leave the room. Well, the thing is, when you're in a hotel room, you can't go into the next room because it's just one room. I walked the streets for some time because I couldn't stand hearing about Diana anymore. And I'd turn on the radio, and Diana was all over the place. And I'd phone into my message machine, and there's people at the station wanting to know if I wanted to come into work. And my wife even said, "Are you going to go in? Are you going to go? This is a big story." I said, "This is my last vacation of the year. There is no way in hell, because some idiot got drunk in Paris and Diana's dead, but I'm going to go spend a whole week talking about the stupid dead princess. This is like the most annoying, boring, ridiculous, idiotic story of all time, and I'm not going to sit there and talk about it." Honest to God! I mean, but it went on and on. And so, you know, we drive around during the day, and I'd turn on the radio stations, you know, listen to some of the idiot talk show hosts, and they all sounded pathetic, and the callers who called in sounded even worse. And then I start seeing the crowd forming around Kensington Palace, and I'm thinking, the whole world's gone nuts! There's nothing to Diana. She never did anything. I kept asking my wife. We had this debate all week. My whole vacation was haunted by Diana. I kept saying, what did she do? You know, she's treated like an actress, but at least actresses act. She's treated like a rock star, but at least rock stars sing. She doesn't make anything. She doesn't have any talent. She's not particularly bright. She apparently threw up a lot every time she was under pressure. And she obviously married or fell in love with the worst mutants that the planet has to offer. So what's the deal? I mean, she's pretty, but she's not really sexy. I never had a fantasy about her. I never thought, gee, boy, she looked like one of those weird, icy, you know, princess types. And what is a princess anyway, exactly? I started thinking about this. What is a princess? They can't make any law. They can't declare any war. They can't tax anyone. They can't kill anyone. They can't do anything. It's just a bunch of weird inbred people. And so she married into the family, and they didn't like her, and so she broke up, and so what? So what? And my wife says, well, you know, she was very compassionate. And I said, so what? A lot of people are compassionate. And then I said this, I swear I said this, nobody's going to believe me. I said, if Mother Teresa died, then I could understand, there's compassion. And that happened. 3 days later, it happens, right? I hear it on the radio, I go tell my wife, I go, Mother Teresa died. And my wife goes, oh, you're kidding. I said, no. She goes, you're making it up. She thought I was still continuing the argument. I said, no, really, she died. She goes, no, come on, stop it. And for the life of me, I've been asking people all week, and I know this seems to be a woman thing more than a man thing. Although I heard some really idiotic men calling in and blubbering, too. And I'm thinking, what? She did nothing. At least a model, models. Oh, all right, going back to the compassion thing. All right, so she shows up at benefits, right, and draws money. Did she ever change, like, the diaper of an AIDS patient? I mean, did she ever actually minister any charity? Did she get her hands dirty ever? Or does she get dressed up a few times a year, get the free dinner, gives a speech for 5 minutes, a stupid platitude to everybody?
Oh, no. She used to show up and touch people.
She touched it. Yeah,
she touched AIDS patients when nobody else would there in the 80s. I got to tell you that much. Nobody else would, and she actually showed up and she was holding them.
So I'm thinking the compassion argument is what people want to use as a fig leaf, as a cover, to make it seem legitimate that there's a real reason that they're crying. The real reason, I suppose, is that she's really pretty. She belongs to this phony monarchy. and people have 50% of lives.
All right, you the only thing more humorous to me than what happened last week is what you're doing now, because to get mad over this is kind of silly. The bottom line is, there is some sadness because she had two kids, all right? Anytime a person dies and has two kids, and it's not a criminal or some other sick immoral person, I'm sad.
It's kind of sad. Those two kids are going to inherit $10 billion.
Yeah,
I feel real bad.
But they liked her. I think they really liked her.
So? Let the people lose their mothers. There's mothers dying every day.
I think if she had died, they probably wouldn't have blinked. But because she died, it probably meant something.
Come on, tell me.
And whether it's true or not, she's killed basically either by a drunken driver or a bunch of stupid photographers. Whichever side you believe, that's also kind of sad. So for that reason, there is some sadness.
But Tom,
it's reached a level that I couldn't understand either.
People are still blubbering, and I don't understand the whole British culture at all. I am completely baffled. They are... standing outside, they're going... The Queen, when the Queen came to talk to me, did you see the photos in the paper of all the subjects, their eyes bulging out? Imagine being a subject to some weird, bitter old lady. Some weird, bitter old lady in a bad black outfit, and she came out to talk to her subjects. And she actually gave a speech where she referred to them as a subject. Somebody called me a subject and punched her in the mouth. Oh, God. I'm sorry, this has been building up all week.
Yeah, I know, you're going
to... I
don't see why Torrance getting even angry over it, too.
This is what despairs me about human nature.
You know the old thing about turn it off if you don't like it. Don't read it if you don't want to like it.
Turn it on. And then people were calling me.
Why are you yelling at her?
Everybody I talked to here at the station. Oh, you missed the big story last week. You know, I was talking to half a dozen people this morning at the station. Oh, you missed the big story. Like, shut up with your big story.
Nobody said that to me.
God.
Well, first of all, I have to tell you, I looked. We got to get one important thing out of the way first. Sean and Ken have their annual edition of the Ghoul Pool, where listeners called in and picked the people they thought would die in 1997. We do this at the beginning of the year, and I keep a list, and nobody had Princess Di.
Nobody, huh?
No, I looked it up right away.
That would have been a lot of points, too.
Even my father asked me that. My father really loves this game. I was on vacation. I saw my parents, and I'm like, did anybody win the Ghoul Pool for Di?
7 points, it would have been.
That had to be.
It would have been a blowout.
And healthy. Would have been a blowout.
Would have been just a slam dunk blowout.
All right, when we come back, I want to tell you, I was completely in another world from the eyes on the East Coast. I was in New York, which is like tabloid capital of the country. It can't beat England, but it was really wild what I read. I was just hysterical. Unlike you, I was laughing almost the whole week. I thought the whole thing was just so fascinating, the study of psychological nonsense. But I have to tell you some of the stories.
All right,
and some of the things I heard.
I guess there's a difference between you and I.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, I see too much.
I can just brush it off and laugh while you're just like building anger.
Because I can't stand human nature. I just can't. I can't take it.
All right, we got to take a break, and we'll talk more. This is the John and Ken Show.
At 6:18.
Reminding you to check on the G-Man. Weekdays 10 to 2 on the new Talk Radio 1230 FYI.
Bill Geis is with CBS News, and he's here with us now. Good morning, Mr.
Good morning, man. It was just interesting being the oldest person at a rock concert for the first time. My brother-in-law was a little bit younger than I was, but we're wandering around trying to meet chicks at the rock concert, and I'm thinking in the back of my mind, now what if he does pick up some girls, and we have to take the baby seat out of the back of the Taurus? Will they understand?
On the new Talk Radio 1230 FYI.
Here's that famous FYI in the sky with another time. This is the John and Ken Show.
Back from vacation.
Now, you were, what is it, Carmel, California?
Right.
Little resort town. I happened to be in New York because I did want to go to the U.S. Open. I did make it this year. First, I lived there many years. I never went, so I went this year. But, you know, it happened pretty much at the beginning of the vacation, the Di death, and I just knew right away that the New York tabloids would just go wild. So, in a sense, I felt like a kid waking up Sunday morning on Christmas trying to go out and read what they wrote. And I was writing my own little headlines the night before, you know, because at first it was just Doty that was dead but not Die, and I was thinking maybe the headlines, since they were both dead, would be Doty, Die, Die.
Doty, Die, comma, Die.
Or it'd be Doty, comma, Die, Die. Or Doty, I don't know.
Doty, comma, Die, Die.
I was disappointed when, like, the New York Post the next day, all they had was Princess Diana dead. But of course, they had the picture of the car right there on the front page, all smashed up, and it was a exciting moment. And then, so I'm flipping through the pages. It's pretty funny, and I was sad that she died. I actually thought it was kind of sad, but what happened the first day is, went out for breakfast, pick up some bagels, and go past this building, and there's all these flowers already. Well, what is this? And I look up close, and of course it is tributes to Diana. And it turns out it's the British Consulate in New York City. walked into it by accident. Had no idea. And there's already TV crews there. What was wild is that 2 days later, on the news, the line had grown. I guess because people watched TV and saw where it was and realized what it was.
They probably didn't know what a British consulate was until that day.
The flowers, the tributes. I mean, by Tuesday, there were lines around the block. People, and now I'm starting to get, oh, my God, I can't believe this. And then I'm reading the tabloids, and there's already a guy writing a column, and he's working up the movie version of Diane. And he's thinking about Macaulay Culkin as one of the kids and Antonio Banderas as Baby. He's got Lynn Redgrave as Fergie. And then I'm watching TV, and I'm flipping around New York TV stations. And, of course, after they got through the main stuff about Diana, they're like, when we come back, we'll talk about that void in the fashion world that Diana leaves. Well, it seemed to say I got you to laugh. I said, oh, it's an angle I didn't think of.
Void in the fashion world.
I'm watching this over the course of the days, and it starts off, I don't know how we would have done the radio show if we'd done it, but you know, it started off with a horrible paparazzi, right?
Right.
It moved to the horrible drunk guy.
Right.
And then the father comes, Dodie's father, and says, no, he wasn't drunk. I'm like, wow, this movie, this story just keeps bouncing back and forth each day. And I'm thinking, unlike you, of course people are talking about it, because it's got all these elements. And then, of course, my friends and I were walking around New York City, and we're laughing, but we're getting into this mode after a few days of, maybe she isn't dead. And you know that was going to start. Maybe she stayed just to get away from everybody. And one of my friends worked up this whole scenario of how she did it and where she is now. And then I read on the internet, there's a whole bunch of people working up the same theories that the British royalty actually had her killed because she was dating an Egyptian.
Apparently, Muslim and Egyptian Arab newspapers were writing editorials saying that this was set up by the British monarchy because of their anti-Semitism against Arabs. And
then it's like, you know, I wasn't really watching TV after a couple of days, so I run into people and they're telling me, oh, well, the bodyguard may talk, but he lost his tongue. I'm like, oh, my God.
Did he lose his tongue?
No, he didn't. That's not true. His face was smashed, but he didn't lose his tongue.
And
then there was a report that all of their stuff was stolen. Someone robbed Diana's car of jewelry and money. And that turned out to be nonsense. This thing really has a life of its own. It's fascinating to watch human behavior.
All right, we come back. I'm just curious. Was I the only guy in the world to feel this way? I felt like the only person on the planet who felt like the whole thing was stupid. This is the John and Ken Show.
Want to spend the night together? Find out how. Wednesday morning in the 7 a.m. hour on the New Talk Radio 1230, FYI.
You know what's hot? And be a hit. This is the John and Ken Show. So I was really thrilled to be on vacation last week, just so you know. And I was.
Yeah, I thought you would come back and do a show or two,
but you were just too angry, huh?
No, I wasn't angry. I was just irritated. I thought it was fine.
You wouldn't know how to talk about it for very long.
Well, I understood.
She's a news figure, and I understood the angles that she talked about, you know, with the drunken driver and the photographers.
And the photographers, and
okay.
Right.
I got all that.
Two kids.
No, I mean, I could have kicked that around for a day. But when there was this outpouring of gushing emotion, these people show up crying, I'm left cold. I don't know how to deal with that. I could not. And when they start debating the minutiae of whether Charles is going to be king or not, and whether he'll be a... There's something. There's a thing that was in the paper.
Yeah.
Tony Blair, the Prime Minister of England,
right, I saw
he was asked, do you think Charles will be a good king? And he said, yes, I will. And
or should we pass over him and make William king?
Here's my question.
Responsibilities are awesome.
And maybe some of you people who have been blubbering for a week and a half can tell me, how would we know if he's a good king or a bad king? What do you do? How do you rate a king of England? They don't do anything, and they have no power. They're fingerheads. They just sit there like inbred doofuses. So, if he was a good king, how would I know?
No, you're right. They could just bring that queen mother back. What is she, like 99 by now? And just make her the throne. It wouldn't make any difference.
And you know what makes no sense? Who cares?
The queen's speech? Did you see the queen?
I saw it on the news later, because I kind of wanted to see what she looked like. I wasn't sure what she looked like, and she's standing there looking like, you know, somebody's aunt. She's got a stick up the butt. Oh, God, does she have a stick up the butt. And I'm thinking, this woman really believes in her queenliness, you know?
Well, they're supposed to withhold this tradition.
No, she acted like she really was the queen and that it really was important.
Oh, I thought that she could send men to war and change economies.
She talked about her subjects as if she, you know, she really is better than everybody else. And then I'm thinking,
well, they make a big deal of that stuff.
What's wrong with them?
You know what's wrong with them, John? I can tell you because I thought about this. You can say it's what's wrong with them, but it's also the psychology. That used to be some big empire in the world, was it not?
Used to be a biggie, yeah.
They're bitter. Now, hold on. There's a lot of psychology involved.
Yeah.
They lost all that. And she and the inbred family are the only remnants of what was once, you know, the world's greatest empire. So they hang on to that because symbolically it makes them feel like they matter.
Like,
you see where this is coming from?
Yeah, it's really good.
I thought about this.
They're really deluded, though. I mean,
they're really deluded because the rest of us think this is hysterical.
Are they deluded?
However, you know, 50 million people in this country watched the funeral, so obviously the people in this country get some fascination from it.
All right, see, now that the British have their own, like, national mental problem there, and I've only been to London once. I can't say it's a beautiful city, but I don't understand.
It's one of my favorites.
Oh, it's a great city.
It's well run. It's mostly clean.
But American people gaping at this stuff.
Yeah, what's that about?
What?
It's celebrity.
But it's celebrity. I mean, to me, it was like Zsa Zsa Gabor dying.
Another Hollywood Square.
Yeah. That was the importance to me. It was like, oh, Zsa Zsa Gabor died in a car crash. You know, I'd probably watch that for an hour on TV and then, you know, go to sleep and laugh the next morning about it. Anyway, there's people on the phone here. Mark, you're on the John and Ken Show.
Hi, John.
Yes.
Yeah, you've been saying what I've been thinking all week. Diana struck me as kind of a female Forrest Gump, especially given her ability to be photographed with all kinds of famous people. And I think another reason for her popularity with the trailer park crowd who buys all of these tabloids is that the British monarchy is probably like the last symbol of white supremacy in the world.
Well, that's what I was wondering. I was wondering about the trailer park angle here.
Much sense.
Well, I mean, thanks for the call, Mark.
What does that mean?
Well, how, you know, they sell maybe, oh God, I don't know, a couple million National Enquirers a week.
Oh, in this country.
Yeah, you know, and that's the National Enquirer is like the standard tabloid in America. That's only a couple of million. And I mean, I read the thing sometimes when I'm on the grocery line, and it's pretty funny. But there's people who like read it, and they take it seriously. And I always wondered, you know, we make jokes about it, well, the trailer park people are into this.
Yeah,
I mean, but this seems to go beyond just the trailer park people.
Oh, it goes beyond the trailer park.
Yeah, so
trailer park people are only interested in the gory angles. They want to see the pictures of her dead body in the car.
Right, they're kind of secretly happy that she's dead.
And they might believe the conspiracy.
Right, yeah.
No, there's a lot of people that they just thought this woman was something special. And they're not trailer park people.
No, I know. My wife's cousin is visiting, and she came over the house over the weekend, and sitting in the pool, and she and my wife were going on and on for a couple hours about it.
Well, there was a bit of Diana in there's a bit of you in this, because the only thing I could think of, the only connection I could make is that she was kind of like trying to stick it to royalty, and a lot of people in Britain want to do the same thing, and some people here do too. She was kind of like the rebel, and I think that appealed to people. The rest of them were stuck up inbred, and she was kind of a rebel.
I guess, why do people care? Why didn't she marry into the stupid family? What did she think she was getting into?
I don't know. She had a bad childhood, and it's like, this was going to help?
Yeah.
I didn't even know she had such a bad childhood.
No, I didn't know anything about her. I didn't know her parents, like, broke up when she was a kid, and...
No, I don't know either.
But
to think that this would help her escape is unbelievable.
So, and when she was 20 and she got married, everybody already knew that the royal family was a bunch of stuck-up inbreds. I mean, you know, what did she think was going to happen? I mean, Charles must have been a bore 20 years ago, too.
Yes.
All right. John, you're on the John and Ken Show.
I think last week, to me, the most significant thing is that the British people were really turning against the Queen.
Okay,
I never thought that would ever happen. I mean, they were saying, demanding the Queen to say, hey, you have to show respect to Diana.
Even if they beheaded her,
she's going to turn against you.
Even if they beheaded her, how does this all matter?
Well, I think it's a real historic turning point in English history.
It's a revolution against what? There's
no significance.
There's nothing.
There's more to it than just the Queen and Prince Philip.
You spent too much time on
the group of people.
All right, thank you. Hey, what does it serve?
What are the weird people are calling about this? These are the kind of calls, whenever I turn on the radio,
he sounds like one of those blubbering TV analysts.
Did you see how many people actually have titles like Royal Biographer and Royal Watcher?
Oh, what a bunch of twits those people are.
Oh my God, I can't believe how many there were.
All these bald, bespeckled, pasty-faced English guys, and they're all royal experts.
And I'm thinking, who wants to spend your life as a royal expert? And they spend their lives staring at the royals in public, you know, looking to see who's drooling and whose eyes are twitching, and they make some sort of
you know, translation out of that. It's like, who are these people? I mean, on that night, the first night after she died, these bald-headed guys were on for hours. Went to make their stupid English accents, blubbering and blubbering away about what does this mean? What is Diana's legacy? What legacy? What? What? And for this country, it makes no sense. These are the idiots that the people that founded our country were running from. They left all that royalty nonsense behind and fought a war against it. Hey, so let's just, you know, let's kill this stuff. I know. What do you forget about the Revolutionary War? We murdered a whole bunch of British people to get away from the inbred monarchy.
You think that
and now you're blubbering over
it. You think if a Diana had died in 1776, anybody in this country would have given a damn about a cheer?
No, they would have cut her head off, stuck it on a stick, and ran around the town square. Saying we killed the princess, America is free. back when Americans made sense, you know, 240 years ago, this country made sense. They realized the monarchy was a load of bull, and you know, they did everything they could to break away and kill anyone who got in the way. And now there's people, 3 o'clock in the morning, blubbering over some dead princess. And I'm just trying to understand.
But honestly, do you think that a 15-year-old boy like William's up to being king? That's a big issue.
If I was him, I'd get all that responsibility.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, people were going up to me on
the schedule. Wake up, have a royal breakfast, shake a few hands at some meaningless ceremony, have a royal lunch, take a nap, and then get some croquet, have a royal tea. That's the schedule, pretty much, isn't it? Shake some more hands at another worthless ceremony. And then when you're 21, they'll bring you an array of bimbos, like Diana was, and say, well, all right,
you know what?
Who do you want to impregnate so we can get the next king in 30 years?
This very none from our discussion we've had on athletes and entertainers who make a lot of money, this just proves when you have a lot of money and nothing to do, you get in trouble. Look at all the royals that have been in trouble the past 20 years. For cheating on their husbands and wives, and for getting all sorts of problems, they got nothing to do. So they might as well just cause problems.
Diana, the perfect,
starts screwing around.
And she's supposed to be this great mother. Well, what was she doing in Paris with some weirdo Egyptian playboy with a drunk guy driving the car? That's not what my mother used to do. Loving mother. My wife doesn't do that on Saturday nights.
She doesn't?
No.
Not
she used to, but she does. Julia, you're on the John and Ken show.
Boy, you are just being really hard on this poor woman.
I'm sorry, I built up for 10 days.
I think, you know, she could have been a really austere, royal, noble person and kind of ignored any kind of social obligation. And I think she really did try to do some genuine things for people.
But did she do it any more than a million other people who actually, you know...
Oh, yes, she did. She had the presence and because she brought with her the power and the dignity and the...
What? What power?
The power of that royalty. I mean,
they had no power.
Oh, no, she didn't have that kind of power. She had the people power. She could get people connected. It's kind of like,
why did she go to...
I guess the theory is that
you are a perfect example. Hold on. I get all this drivel. You can't tell me what she did. She did not.
I can explain anything she's trying to explain. Well, the media's following her all around. She could give some publicity to causes nobody else is paying attention.
Absolutely.
I guess that's the theory.
Everybody was paying attention to AIDS.
Oh, started pretty early. She started there in the 80s when it was still like, you know, let's just send those people to an island.
Okay, so without her, we'd have no treatments, right?
No.
Come on. How about the scientists who discover the treatments, you know? They're going to die and they're going to get 2 paragraphs in the back of the paper.
I think the other thing is I think you're being too hard on her for can you remember how mature you were at 19? I mean, she got into this whole thing when she was 19. She made some very big public mistakes.
I can guarantee you I would not have married Prince Charles.
I guarantee you that nobody's going to be crying at his funeral. But
no, I can't wait for him to die. I'm hoping he goes like, I want to get rid of all the royals to die real soon. So then they'll all die out and there'll be no successors and we won't have to hear about this ever again.
Well, I think she grew up an awful lot, and I think that over time she really matured and was...
Yeah, that's how everybody does. I mean...
Well, but she had a special ability because of her her place in life to bring more.
All right, more vague
questions.
Julia, thanks.
Well, yeah, she did show up at a lot of things. I don't remember what else. I guess she went to a lot of poor neighborhoods and then held children's hands and supposedly donations poured in. Since she's dead, did you read about all the money that's coming in? It's like $1 million a day or more to these charities.
We didn't need her to be alive to get money to the charity. If she died a while ago, these charities would have conquered their diseases a long time back.
You always have an answer, don't you?
You shouldn't get yourself all bent up.
I know I shouldn't.
We're going to get that song on there, Goodbye English Rose.
Oh, for God's sake.
Candle in the Wind. You know, they're really
playing that.
They're going to release that as a single.
Yeah, it's going to the top of the chart.
It's going to be on the radio every 3 minutes.
I've already heard it today several times.
Oh, for God's sake.
He just recorded it.
He chickened out, didn't he?
What?
He changed the words. And you know one of the words he left out? The press still hounded you.
Yeah.
And what about the other words? It was a collection of things like, with no one to turn to. Remember Marilyn Monroe, everybody around her?
He didn't, they could have attacked the Royals.
Well,
he is a sissy, let's remember that. And I can say that accurately. We got to take a break. This is the John and Ken Show.
At 6:48. And we'd like to remind you to catch Bruce Williams tonight at 7 on the new Talk Radio 1230 FYI.
For your information, AM 1230 FYI presents the G. Gordon Liddy recipe for pumpkin pie. At 1600 hours, approach the farm from the west. Create a diversion in the fish pantry, and the farmer is distracted.
What the hell is going on here?
Make your way to the pumpkin patch. Sever the pumpkin from the vine using gloves and piano wire. Cover the head of the pumpkin with burlap and move it to an undisclosed location. Keep the pumpkin without food for several days. When the pumpkin's will is broken and it has given up, cut it open and use your bare hands to pull out the guts. Keep Gordon Liddy. Midday on AM 1230 FYI. Radio's answer to covert action.
Every night at 7.
This is the John and Ken Show.
Yes, we are back from vacation, and no, we didn't wish we were working last week. We were both very glad not to be a part of all that idiocy.
Well, I was too far away, but I thought maybe you would.
No. Yeah.
No.
No.
You know?
But no. Just no way. I knew instantly I wanted nothing to do with this. Let's go to Dan. Yeah, the John and Ken Show.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
One thing that bugged me about this whole thing was the ridiculous estimates of how many people watched the funeral.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought this up.
Oh, man, I don't know who's making up these numbers, but I've seen newspapers estimate that like 2.5 billion people
watched. Yeah, that's what I saw. 2.5 billion is the estimate for the world viewing of the funeral.
First of all,
how many people on the planet?
5.5. 6 billion or something like that.
First of all, this is almost half the population of the world.
There is no rating system in China or India, where there's at least 2.5 billion people.
Exactly.
They don't have Nielsen boxes in the mud huts in China.
But somebody just made up that number, and it's repeated by everybody. Plus, half the world's in the dark half the time. And
well, it said 187 countries got access to the funeral.
And I think like 50 million people in the United States watched it. I mean, that's a country that's pretty much interested in the event. I mean, that's such a seemingly low number.
That's only one-fifth. That's one-fifth of the people, right? Something like that.
No, that's an entirely made-up statistic. There's no way to measure it. There's no way to prove it. What it probably said is that there were 2 billion people in the range of a TV signal, you know, if they had a television.
It's kind of like the estimate of 1 billion people watching the Oscars every year. It's that kind of number that just floated out there that's made up by some marketing guy.
Yeah, because he's going to challenge it. There's
exactly.
No way to prove it or disprove it.
Well, I challenge it.
Thank you for calling, and I'm glad you challenged it.
The first moonwalk got 1 billion people. The wedding got 600 million. That's an estimate, though. Some estimates range as high as 750 million for their wedding. Barcelona Olympics, 2 billion. World Cup final, 2 billion. Super Bowl, 37
billion. 2 billion do not watch the Super Bowl or the stupid World Cup.
Well, the World Cup is because everybody in the world plays soccer.
Not everybody
watches. 2 billion?
That's what they have for the World Cup finals of 1994. I don't know what teams played, but that must have been a big...
Well, if it was like China that played, they showed it all over the country.
Oh,
that could get you there. You know, they don't even have electricity in most areas. I mean, like in places like China or in Africa or in India.
All right, they're squatting in holes when they have to poop.
They got cable TV now, you're telling me.
Some of the stories I read after I got back in, like, papers were that, you know, there were lights on in people's houses and they got up early to watch the funeral, depending on what time zone you're in. But there was, like, another story I read. I guess some local priest got to go to the funeral. So when he came back to his local parish for Sunday services, he was like the star. It was a sellout. The church was filled when they wanted to hear him talk about Diana.
No, I'm serious. I thought this was so weird. I'm watching this, so they sent the camera crew there to film him as he did his sermon, talking about what he saw over there and how the people of England reacted.
Who are these people?
And, you know, you can pick up any police blotter and check out all the people that died and look in the obituaries, and there's nothing going on for them.
Shelley, here on the John and Ken Show, got less than a minute.
Hi. I hope I can explain to you some of the emotion. I wasn't a fan, and I'm shocked at my own reaction, but I have cried most of the week.
Wrong with you.
No, I think what it is basically empathy. I don't care that she was a star. I think of the pain people feel that don't have her anymore, like the boys. And I think of her being so young, and she wouldn't have chosen.
You don't cry for anybody else who loses their mother.
This is different.
These guys are going to have $10 billion to spend. It's not so bad.
Well, they're stuck with that stuffy queen.
And they can always leave. If I was them, I'd leave. As soon as I was 18, I'd say, see you guys.
I hope they will, but I know she just... I saw clips of her hugging them and just... You could tell how much she loved them and they loved her, and I just feel empathy for them.
No, you don't feel empathy for anybody else. That's my whole thing.
You never can feel empathy.
This is the John and Ken Show.
We're one big bad mama jamma. KFI Los Angeles, more stimulating talk radio.
Hillary Clinton's heading off to another funeral. Good afternoon. I'm Carrie Rayoma. This is the 4 o'clock news on KFI. And Washington remembers Mother Teresa. We'll tell you more after we check your traffic. KFI is the talk station that does the most frequent traffic reports.